This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Thanks for listening to No Joke with Billy and Adam on the HeadGum Podcast Network. This is the show where we tackle a topic oh so loosely and discuss our previous, present, and future relationship to it.
Today's topic was Clueless, and our guest was Marina Mitchelson. We hope you enjoy the No Joke Podcast. Okay, welcome back. It is the No Joke Podcast. I am Billy Scafiore.
I'm Adam Lustig.
And it is episode number 149.
Creeping up on the 150, Bill.
The precipice.
We're right on the press.
Yeah.
What do we do for it?
I guess we have a guest. We probably have a guest. We talked about cake.
That's right.
A few episodes ago, we said maybe we should treat ourselves to a cake.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we talked about our favorite cakes, and then we got into cakes versus pies.
That's right. Cakes v. pies.
If we were to celebrate, Adam, would you want a cake or would you want a pie?
I would maybe want to do, like, for 150, I would even go like 150 mini pies maybe, or like,
ooh.
And not just sweet ones, some savory.
That reminds me,
150 minis.
We've talked about Big Nicky. Big yes. Nicky owns and operates the Coliseum Deli on Hempstead Turnpike in Nassau County.
God bless you.
When Big Nicky turned 20, me and Steve Corvetti, my best friend,
yes.
went to a McDonald's and got 20 cheeseburgers for Big Nicky.
There you go.
And we made them in a pyramid and we gave him a burger pyramid, and he was so touched.
Let
he was so
this.
Touched.
That's beautiful.
Okay.
I would be touched by a meat pyramid as well. Did you take the burgers out of the wrappers?
Nope.
So they're wrapped burgers in a pyramid.
Yep.
Gorgeous.
It's even more fun because then you can actually hand them out.
It's really nice.
You know, so we did that.
Yeah.
But that kind of informed me, like your quantity of pies.
Yes.
Long Island is so much quantity over quality.
Just more.
More.
If it's more, that's what makes it good.
Right. It's not. It's... No one talks about how good the meal was.
Yes.
Everyone talks about how big it was, how I feel right now.
Unfortunately, I almost still kind of half subscribe to that food philosophy.
So do
if
I.
If it's enough, that's why it's good.
Born and raised.
That's right.
I get it. Today, Adam.
Yes.
We have a guest who I would say is the most quality.
And I would say has personally fed me more food than most human beings I've ever known.
So, with that, I think I might marry her.
Great. Whoa.
I mean, she
feeds. This is moving fast.
I didn't tell you I've married all of our previous guests.
Oh, my God. Bill.
I'm marrying this woman.
Great.
This woman is a filmmaker.
Yes.
This woman is one of my absolute favorites.
And mine.
I've lived with her for my life now.
For my life now.
Marina Mitchelson.
Hi, Marina.
Hi, guys. I'm blushing.
Is it weird to be talking to us in this context with microphones?
This is so strange.
So real.
No.
It's pretty weird. Yeah. We usually just have coffee together. Now we have microphones
coffee
together.
With microphones.
It is funny how putting a microphone in front of us somehow kind of changes the dynamic.
Like, absolutely.
You two are my best friends.
And you two are my best friends.
You do. I do everything with you two.
Yes. But this is a huge device in front of our faces. We're not speaking to each other. We're speaking into these microphones.
Right. It took Adam and I about 149 episodes to get over the microphone thing and try and get normal again.
We're finally getting used to it. I pretend it's not here.
Right. There's a reason why Marina's here, not just because she feeds us a lot and I'm going to marry her. It is because Marina is a filmmaker. She is a writer.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Her film, Biophilia,
yes.
Biophilia,
yes.
Nice.
Comes out today.
Yes.
This Friday, yes. November 16th.
Correct.
That's right.
And they can find it, if they go to Vimeo, you can type in Biophilia.
Yep.
And they can find Marina's film there. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. You can find it on Vimeo, or it'll be linked on my Instagram handle.
Yep.
It is so, so excellent.
Thank you.
Marina, you're a super talented person.
Yeah.
Thanks.
We made this, our films, around the same time. I made a film called Triple Kiss, and Marina made a film called Biophilia a few months after.
Yes.
But we were writing and kind of creating them around the same time. And when they both came out, or when I saw both, I thought to myself, my film, Triple Kiss, feels like a fun video, a long video, something
yeah.
you might find online on a College Humor type site.
Yes.
And it's like low production. Marina's film...
Whew.
Is big, it's beautiful, it's expansive, the colors are all very considered, the acting is very considered, it's very nuanced. Marina's is a film.
I have to say, Marina, not to make you blush even further, but I watched it again last night, and it is so, so good, and I was just really struck by how bold, it's so bold of you to make a film that is so deliberate and so quiet and so intense. I've just, like, it takes a real... kind of, I was re-impressed with the balance of how truly intense it is, and kind of, it is kind of like, I don't know, what genre would you say it is? It's almost like a quiet thriller.
Yeah, I think I was going for psychological thriller.
Yeah, it feels like that.
But I think that if I had a chance to redo it, I would have wanted to go even in a more horror direction.
Really?
But yeah, that's something, that's like one of the biggest lessons I take away from making the film is thinking more about genre and how like the structure of genre helps an audience understand the kind of movie that you want to make and the kind of story. And I don't think I necessarily consider that in advance.
Yeah.
I thought about it while making the film.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would consider it a psychological thriller. That's kind of what I want people to feel, kind of curious and scared and creeped out and interested.
Sorry. Like we said, the film is called Biophilia. What is it about?
Biophilia is about a woman who is new to farming, who decides that she has to prove her worth when she finds a dead animal on her farm that's died under her watch.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
It's really beautiful. It's I feel like it's got a lot. I know that you're a huge cinephile, and it's got very like Malick-y, Terrence Malick. I find
what a compliment.
I know. Malick-y, it's compliment.
Energy to it, but just like, I don't know. I just was really, and the actors, and I should say Meryl and Dan, who are friends, and just phenomenal, and just give really great performances. One of the things that like, not to be like film criticism guy about it, but there is something so, I don't know, you, like we said, like nature, and like there's something about the duality. I find like the theme of the film, to me, there's something like the duality of nature, how the serenity and the brutality of nature and both sort of mashing up against each other. And I really was, again, restruck by how the two performances to me a little bit are emblematic of that. Like Meryl's performance is so, and her energy is so graceful and gentle and sort of loving and earthy. And Dan, who plays her kind of partner, is like really his character is quite harsh and a little brutal himself. And I thought that was like, I don't know, maybe I'm like reading too much into it, but it sort of mirrored almost the light and dark of the movie in a way to me.
Yeah, I think that's the goal. I mean, my favorite kind of movies are the ones that make you ask these questions and like that you want to lean into and see what you've gleaned from them and how you experience the theme. So I really think you're spot on.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of whatever you want to read into it. And I love, I call it like a man versus nature story.
Yes.
I really want to put a woman versus nature story before that.
Yes.
Because that's how I always like learned about that theme.
Yeah.
You know, in school you learn that there's like three themes. There's like man versus man versus self, man versus nature.
That's right.
And I love a nature story, but I felt like that there weren't that many stories of like women in nature.
Amen.
I could really only think of Wild.
Yeah.
And I really, that's really what I went in wanting to show. But I also wanted to explore power. And I think that kind of what you're hitting on in the interaction between Meryl and Dan, the main characters, is the abuse of power.
Oh, yeah.
And the question of how that works in relationships, but also how that works between man and nature.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's also like the horror and the thrillery to me is like it's a really delicious, it's just really great. It's really a fabulous kind of slow burn, and like it really does pack a sort of a horror-y, to me, a really horror-y emotional punch at the end, and it really kind of delivers a truly, there's some truly chilling imagery that is really, will stick with me. It's really great, Marina. I'm very proud of you.
Agreed. That's a rock solid tease. Once again, the movie is called Biophilia, and again, it is currently available. It is now available.
Please watch.
Online.
Oh, yeah.
Just go to Vimeo and type in Biophilia.
Correct.
And her name is Marina Mitchelson. She is the writer and director.
And he might marry me.
And he might. If this episode goes well.
If it goes well. Check back in 45 minutes.
But we're not going to talk about your film today, Marina.
No.
We're going to talk about another film, though.
Yes.
A film that when I met you, you made it very clear, this is my favorite movie. 10 years later, however long we've been together now, almost 11 years later, it is still your favorite movie.
Yes.
And that movie is Clueless.
Oh, baby.
Clueless.
One of the all-time greats.
I just want to, like, say all of the quotes right now. Just vomit them out.
Get them out of the way.
One of the most iconic L.A. movies.
Oh, yeah.
Came out over 20 years ago?
95,
wow, you're right. 1995.
Is that what it is?
23 years old. Still feels very topical.
Yes.
Marina, how old were you in 1995? Why is this such an impactful movie for you?
I was 9.
Okay.
And I...
Seems young.
It is very young.
Because it's about dating and kissing and boys in the mall.
I mean, it's about teenagers. It's first of all, when you grow up in the big city like L.A., you get things earlier than other people do. So it's kind of normal to see.
Okay.
It was also PG-13. Okay. I will say that.
Yes.
Okay. You're still 4 years from 13 for what it's worth.
I didn't know. I remember sitting in the theater. I don't have that great of a memory, but I remember sitting in the theater and the credits flashing for Clueless. My parents' friend My parents' friend's daughter, Tanya Paperny, took me to see it, and I had no idea what we were going to see.
Yes.
But I remember we were in Westwood. We were, like, a little too young to be at the movies on our own, and I remember these neon pink and yellow credits flashing,
like, okay,
and the song, and before I knew it, I was, like, mesmerized, and my mind was blown.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I've seen it since then. But I will never forget how excited I was. I have a very emotional memory as opposed to, like, I don't remember quotes or stories as well, but
it's
I remember how I felt.
It felt like a real West Coast movie. Adam, we grew up on the East Coast. Did Clueless have, like, the same cultural impact in your neighborhood?
I mean, it did. It was became phenomenal. I feel like it became a phenomenon.
It's a cult film, for
sure. Definitely. Whether it was like the as if and like the little slangisms that like
rolling with the homies.
Yo, like it definitely permeated pop culture forever and for sure. And my best friend Sean loved the movie and we would watch it a lot together.
I did not know that.
Oh yeah, he loves Clueless. And like a lot of the people in my high school were into it. But it did seem as like a sheltered upstate New York.
Right.
It was like this is a movie about a different place.
Right.
This is a deliberately
place. I was on the Saved by the Bell tip, and I was just like everybody, like on Saved by the Bell, like they go to the Max, they go to high school, and then that's the thing.
Yeah.
And then suddenly I was like, oh, there's a new LA like media in town. I'm learning about this other thing, and it felt so like the Valley Girl, and like totally like jappy, and totally like clothes and fashion and boys and daddy, and all that kind of stuff. The rich entitled, kind of LA cliche that now exists.
It was also
so lovable.
So lovable. Oh my God. And Alicia Silverstone, I mean, like, it was just like all of a sudden I was like, oh, you who I love now.
Goddess.
Just as like a teen boy, so, I was like, well, you're now my new platonic ideal of what like a beautiful creature might be.
Real. Same. Yeah. She felt like this is the person who I want to be my best friend, and this is who I want to become one day.
Yes.
And fun fact, when I was at one of my friend Sarah Nahum's bat mitzvahs when we were 12
we
years
all know
old,
Sarah Nahum.
We all know, and we've all been to the bat mitzvah.
Alicia Silverstone was there.
Stop it.
Because Alicia Silverstone was Sarah Nahum's babysitter.
Celebrity sighting.
And I will tell you, she was the coolest.
She is.
She danced with everyone on the dance floor. Like, I remember being so scared to say hi to her, and she was like the nicest, sweetest person I could imagine.
Yes.
Good.
I failed to remember, what is the opening music? Like, what?
Looking out the dirty old window.
Oh, yes, right. Okay.
Is it that end with, we're the kids in America? Whoa, we're the kids. I mean, look, that's an act break if I've ever heard one. That's an act break.
That's what
I
remember from the opening credits, that song, and being like, what is
this? It is instantly mesmerizing.
So let's set the tone. Once again, we have Marina Mitchelson with us. She has a new film out. It is called Biophilia. Search it in the act break. Watch it in the act break,
yes,
and then
please
come back. Now we are going to play the opening theme song to Clueless.
Thank you.
Looking out a dirty old window, outside the cars in the city go rushing by. I sit here alone and I wonder why. Friday night and everyone's moving. I can feel the heat, but it's soothing, heading down. I search for the beat in this dirty downtown.
Welcome back to the No Joke Podcast. We're talking to Marina Michelson about Clueless. That was Kids in America by The Muffs, the most 90s guitar in the world.
I'm not sure how I feel about the name The Muffs.
Yeah.
I feel like I like give a benefit of the doubt to almost any band that starts with The.
The
is even a band.
I love
and
that.
I'm really? Fine with The.
The is real?
Yeah. The Muffs.
Oh, you know The.
Do I?
That's like the famous song from Empire Records.
Oh, yeah. So another like
Can
90s.
You sing it?
No.
Pressure's on.
Oh, I can't sing it.
Records and Clueless weirdly fill a similar what
yes,
you love
favorites.
I know they're like cousins in my
seminal
mind,
movies
in my cultural
for me.
Memory.
Yeah. Yes.
So Marina, what was your first? So you saw it in the theater in Westwood when you were underage. Not to out you, but if any cops are here, please come.
Mm-hmm.
Was it instantly? You felt an instant kind of affinity for it, and it was
yes,
like, oh, I love this vibe.
I grew up in LA. Yeah. I loved clothes. My mom was a fashion designer. Yes. It just felt like. I don't want to say that it felt like my story. It wasn't my story. I was nine.
Yeah. But it's your dream. Know, it's like a little
There's
kid's
a
dream.
Element.
There's
yes.
a very fantastic
I mean, it's
element.
A coming-of-age movie. Like, coming-of-age has always been my favorite theme.
Yeah.
Something else that strikes me about this movie is it is the first time I realized that, like, a woman could be a director. Amy Heckerling was the first female writer-director whose name I knew.
Yeah.
And I think that also struck me, like, whoa, that was something different to
me. Yes,
And that's really burned in my memory.
Yeah.
When you were a kid, were you, like, remembering directors' names? Because, like, I am a 36-year-old man now, and I still don't clock who the directors are.
Who directed Back to the Future? Well, I think it was Marty McFly.
Everyone,
I'm not positive,
everyone
though.
Is,
I'm not sure.
Honestly, I would just answer Steven Spielberg about 90% of all movies.
And you were right.
I remember one time I was at a party in the Hamptons, and me and all my dumb friends from Long Island were there, and we were sitting around a pool, and, like, it was so evident that my friends didn't read when one of my friends asked my other friend, who's your favorite author? And they both said Stephen King at the same time. Because that's the only, like, writer we knew in Long Island
that's
at the time.
Who we know.
So how are you clocking Amy Heckerling?
I'll say that it's exactly that point. It's like, I don't think I was clocking directors, but all the directors were like Steven Spielberg, Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah.
And Amy Heckerling was the first one that I was like, huh, that's a she. Yeah. That's why that sticks.
That's cool.
Yes.
Yep.
Alicia Silverstone, such an iconic character.
Not only did Clueless, like, want her, Aerosmith. One.
Oh, that's
totally.
Right. Oh, yes.
Was it Crazy and Crying?
Yes.
Were those the two movies?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Love those. Yes. Her and Liv Tyler.
You know, while we're here, we're talking about Alicia Silverstone.
Yes.
I think it's right maybe if we go through some of the cast of Clueless.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a pretty iconic
It
cast,
really, really is.
And everyone kind of grew up to be different things.
That's true.
So we'll start with Alicia Silverstone, the lead.
Yes.
Her name was Cher Horowitz.
Cher.
Uh-huh.
Cher.
Good start.
Really good.
What is she doing now, actually? Has anyone clocked Alicia Silverstone recently?
She's like a hardcore vegan.
Oh.
Who, I think, like, mom blogs about how to feed your baby, like, birds.
Whoa. Hold. Beep, beep, beep. Yep. Back up that truck.
Mouth to mouth?
Back up that truck.
You chew like a bird. You
and
chew
regurg?
The food, and then you regurge.
Marina.
I need this to be true, Marina.
Marina.
You guys, I'm pretty sure it's true. But she's also wonderful. She, like, cares about the animals.
Not interested. Literally not interested
mouth.
In what she's why she's wonderful. You're telling me
that
bird. Alicia Silverstone chews food and then spits it in her baby's mouth, and she thinks that that helps.
And then suggests that other people do that as well.
Do that as
Great.
Well.
So that sounds wacky, and you're thinking, hey, that's probably one of the more wacky second acts of the cast's life. Incorrect.
You'd be wrong.
I'd argue the most wacky and kind of haphazard second act goes to Stacey Dash.
Stacey Dash went in a different direction.
Dion Davenport.
She's like weird Republican right-wing weirdo nowadays.
Yeah, it's too bad because she was so cool in the movie.
So cool.
She was
so cool.
She was so cool in the movie. She was also so cool. She was the love interest.
Remember who?
Her Jeep Wrangler.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I wanted.
Yeah, her Jeep was pretty
and
iconic.
They, like, she picks up Cher and they just hop into the car.
Yes.
She was also the star of Kanye West's Through the Wire video in which she was the love interest. And there was a time when I was like, that's so weird. Like, why would Stacey Dash, like, who's now a hardcore Republican, who's swinging right so hard at defending the Republicans, do a Kanye West video? And then just a few years later, Kanye
You're
West
like, oh, it all makes sense.
Yep. Got
it. The puzzle fits together. It is true, though, about the driving, though. As an innately anxious driver, I do also remember a very strong vibe from Clueless of like, oh, driving can be fun. Like, this is making driving look really
but
kind of
But do you remember
fun.
The freeway scene?
Refresh me.
When so they're driving, they're like with Marie, who's Dee's boyfriend.
Yes.
And they're in the front seat and Cher's in the back and she's like talking about her love problems and Dee's driving and she doesn't know what she's doing and she gets on the freeway and they all start screaming.
Oh yes, yes,
they're
yes,
like, what are you doing? You're getting on the freeway. And yeah. she like, basically takes her hands off the wheel and then they frame it as like a major moment in the
getting
film.
On the freeway.
As soon as they get off, it's like they have been through
That's
something.
That's hilarious. Oh my God.
Third cast member? Probably the best performance in the entire movie, I would say.
Who's this now?
This is Brittany Murphy.
She's amazing.
Excuse me, Brittany Murphy as Ty.
She was really great.
How you really undercut Alicia Silverstone right there.
I will just say that she had one of the more dynamic roles. Her character really kind of, she was kind of being swung back and forth between the cools and the populars and the unpopulars.
Well, the storyline is that Cher, is that Ty is the new girl in town.
That's right.
And Cher's like love interest in the film, Paul Rudd,
yes.
tells her that she like doesn't do anything, that she's like she needs so Cher has this idea that she needs a social project.
That's right.
So Ty becomes her social project.
That's right.
And she tries
90s.
To make her cool.
Yes.
And the arc of the film is that she actually makes her
too cool.
cool so that Ty becomes this like bitchy character in the film.
Right.
And then there becomes this love triangle with them with Ty, Cher, and Josh.
I love the old loser because now she's too cool.
She does her job too well.
Right.
Yes.
She was fantastic in it. She
Amazing.
Had a really sharp New York accent. Am I
she
wrong
did.
In saying that?
It was just like a kind of a crazy accent.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like a little crazy. Yeah.
A little over the top.
You're a virgin who can't drive.
Oh. Way harsh, Ty.
That was way harsh, Ty.
Yeah.
And there was like one of the first scenes is when they're all in tennis. I love that they're all like in tennis for PE.
Yeah.
And Ty is like, somebody asked for a Coke,
yeah.
and Ty's like, oh, shit, you guys got Coke here?
you guys got Coke here? Yeah.
Next actor up, maybe the biggest career post Clueless. We mentioned him once, Paul Rudd playing the role of Josh.
Yes.
I love Josh.
Everyone, turns out everyone in America loved Josh.
That's right.
For the next 25 years, we have all agreed we love the guy who played Josh.
I think this is my Paul Rudd introduction. I think this is my introduction to the creature that is Paul Rudd.
And I don't think he's like aged a
day.
Yeah,
he's
what's
got
up?
The Bob Costas aging in reverse vibe. It's like, bizarre.
Pure charm. I remember one time I saw somebody post, if you go on Google and you write a sentence, but you put quotes around it, Google will search it exactly as it is. And if you find that exact sentence exactly as it is written, then it will come up.
Cool.
Somebody wrote in Google, in quotes, Paul Rudd is an asshole. Google turned up zero result.
Makes sense.
No one in the history of time
no one's ever thought
has
that.
Ever committed
no one's ever
that
thought
to paper
that.
Or thought that no. Paul Rudd is an asshole.
And the hook of that is, if I'm not mistaken, again, spoiler alert, this movie's 25 years old, but Paul Rudd and Cher are step-siblings, no?
Ex-step-siblings,
okay.
That's the thing.
Oh, that's
you
the
hated
thing.
This when we watched it. They're what? Ex-step-siblings.
Okay.
Movies in the 90s. Okay, you first and then me.
But,
you first.
So what's the family tree? How does that break down?
So Dan Hedaya, Mel.
Dan Hedaya.
I love him. Oh, Mel, Cher's dad. Used to be married to Josh's mom. They
That's
are now
right.
divorced, making them ex-step siblings.
That's right. Okay, good.
Right.
Josh was so – do you remember how nerdy he was? He was like a UCLA student and he was like really into grunge. And every time you saw him, he was listening to like the Counting Crows.
Yeah.
The
Counting Crows. Every time he was always just like – Cher's life was so colorful and fun. And every time you like cut to Josh in his room or car, it was like Counting Crows.
Yes. Gotta love the bad boy who listens to Counting Crows.
Well, that was so funny about – and again, like I haven't seen this movie in a long time. Shame on me. But like that was the whole thing. He was older and like he was – it was like a little – illusory of him to be like hanging out or like be concerning himself with like the high school girl drama, and that was kind of what was charming about him.
90s film,
mm-hmm.
90s comedies that were driven towards teenagers usually had a very problematic relationship detail in almost every single. You made me watch, not made me, you encouraged me to watch a bunch of movies where when it was all said and done, I'd be like, that's so weird.
Well, you're talking about My Father the Hero.
I was gonna say, we watched My Father the Hero at your birthday party, and it was like, oh, this movie's not okay anymore.
I really remember that being your takeaway from Clueless too. It was like not the takeaway I wanted you to have.
Right.
And at the end of the movie you kept being like, but they're siblings.
And then like, Empire Records too. I remember there was like a bunch of like, there was like one girl who was like suicidal and then like they just like solved that by like a dance break or something. I was just like, there is no consequences in these movies whatsoever.
Clueless is a bit, you say the Counting Crows and like grunge and like it is something of a time capsule. I mean, there is
totally
something
90s.
Essentially 90s about it.
There's Mighty Mighty Boss Stone song.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also also Coolio, Rome Roll Coolio.
Yeah.
With the homies, it's like a total hodgepodge.
It's time capsule-y.
Yeah, that really is a 90s vibe.
Yes.
One more actor that we'll get to. Actually, we'll get into two more. Real quick, Donald Faison.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was the boyfriend, right?
Murray. Boyfriend Murray.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was also, I'm pretty sure that both him and Stacey Dash were in the TV show.
Oh, okay.
Not Alicia Silverstone, but I'm pretty sure the two of them were.
Now tell me about that. So when did the TV show occur?
It was like in the late 90s. Yeah. It was like on whatever, it was like the WB, pre-CW. I'm pretty sure it was WB.
Yeah,
it maybe lasted two seasons.
Yes.
I mean, it was like a total Monet, if you guys know the quote from the movie.
No.
Go on.
Which means that from far away, it looks close. It looks good, but when you get up close, it's a total mess.
A total Monet.
It is so awesome.
God,
I use that all the time. I just went wedding dress shopping with Chloe the other day,
and
we were talking about a dress, and the only way to describe it was a total Monet.
Total Monet.
That's funny.
Looks okay from a distance. You get up close, not so much.
Good from far, far from good. Donald Faison's character shaves his head halfway through the movie, and I remember thinking when that happened, I was like, that's cool, because when a girl shaves her head in a movie, it's usually like a really big dramatic, like, whoa, she's going through something.
Yes.
And when this character did it, a male character,
yes,
his girlfriend reacted like, this is the worst thing.
Yes. Oh, that's funny.
Like, you're in trouble.
She
freaks out.
That's funny. But I'm keeping it real. But I'm keeping it real.
My favorite, sorry, Bill, did you want to?
We should have one more. I should have one more actor, but
yes.
What's on your mind?
Oh, no, I hope it gets the guy that you're about to mention.
Is it Breckin Meyer?
Oh, not even. Oh, Breckin Meyer. I forgot the Breckin
Meyer. You say yours first.
Well, Sean?
I loved the guy that was like the guy that she has a crush on and tries to hook up with, who I think is gay.
Oh, Christian.
Love that guy.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know his name.
That performance was
the coolest.
Justin Walker.
Yeah.
Justin Walker.
He was just like so cool.
So suave.
And Cher had the biggest crush on him. I remember that awkward scene of her trying to like make out with him on the bed, and it's like really uncomfortable and awkward.
You made brownies. Oh, no. He goes, oh, honey, you baked.
Yeah.
He looks really like funny. Right now, his IMDb headshot is like early 50s, like middle-aged man. So it's funny to
Good
think the love
him.
Interest.
I know.
Something else.
Such a
no, it's
romp.
A totally star-studded cast.
Yes.
I mean, I was going to say Wallace Shawn. Do you remember Wallace Shawn is one of her teachers?
Mr. Wendell Hall.
Yes.
Mr. Wendell Hall.
She sets up Mr. Wendell Hall and Miss Geist, and that's actually how she negotiates to get a better grade so she's not in trouble with her dad.
She does do good.
She does do good.
The thing.
She means well.
That's right.
I think that's the saving grace of all of her follies throughout
point.
The movie. She means well.
Yes.
She's well-intentioned.
Yes. Didn't mean to dull Breckenmeyer shine.
Don't mean to dull Breckenmeyer.
Is a knockout in
I
the
was
movie.
Just going to use it as
knockout.
An opportunity. I'm just going – I just wanted to brag.
Brag on.
I sometimes play basketball with him,
sick.
And now he's my good friend.
Sick!
He's basically my best friend.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Like, is he really Ben Schwartz's friend who I sometimes see?
Yes. Maybe.
But if Ben, like, isn't there, then he's my best friend.
Exactly.
We have to go into our second act break.
Okay, great.
Travis.
Oh, is that the Breckenmeyer character?
That's his character, Travis.
I just wanted, I was hoping that that just like came out. Like you were texting.
Yes.
And it's just like, Travis.
Another name
no,
that seemed
so
to
sweet.
Be born in the 90s, Travis.
Yes, totally.
No one was named Travis before or since.
As a reminder, we are here with Marina Mitchelson. She has a film out today that she wrote and directed. That movie is called Biophilia.
Yes.
Please look it up. She has social media handles. Marina, what is your Twitter and Instagram handles?
Yes, please.
It is at Marina824.
Woo-hoo.
Okay. On both handles.
That's right.
And
that's
do you have a website?
My website is marinamitchelson.com.
Nice and easy.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go into our second act break.
Let's
we need a song.
A song?
We Something need to... another song.
Yes, Marina.
Oh, can I give it to you?
Yes,
your
please.
Eyebrows are way up.
Please.
Let's hear
okay.
it.
It's called Supermodel.
Great.
It's by Jill Sobule.
Yeah.
It's the best. It's, you know, we just sang it. It's like, I don't care
oh, yeah.
what my teachers say.
Yeah.
What's the last name?
Jill Sobule.
Sobule.
Sobule. Like globule, but
yeah,
Sobule.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll come back. We're going to play a little Sobule, and we'll be right back.
Show. gonna be a supermodel. Supermodel.
Welcome back to the No Joe Podcast. That was Jill Sobule's Supermodel.
Yeah.
I hope I said that right. from the Clueless soundtrack.
Bad news. I checked my phone. No new text from Breckenmeyer.
Bummer, man. Wait, let me check my phone.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe he's looking for me on your phone.
Crap, nothing.
Nothing?
I don't have anything. No, nothing.
I'm just going to lay it all out there. I don't usually pull back the curtain this much, folks.
Pull back the curtain,
don't
Bill.
Usually pull back the curtain. I usually like to keep my secrets hidden.
It's okay.
One time.
Yes.
This is so dumb.
Spill, Bill.
One time I was hanging out with my very good friend, Breckenmeyer.
Yes.
On the sidelines of a basketball
yes.
court. Yes. And we had been playing basketball a few times at this point.
Yes.
So we had some sort of history. What I learned was that one of his closest friends is none other than Zach Morris, a.k.a.
Oh, my gosh.
Paul Gosselaar.
Big That's time. Like a 90s icons. Mind explosion.
90s icons.
Well, wait for this, Marina, because you're about to marry a man who Breckenmeyer told to Mark Paul Gosselaar, I finally found someone who's more fit than you.
Excuse me, Marina. What do you think about
you're
that?
Marrying
congratulations.
A Mark Paul Gosselaar. I'm Billy Morris.
You're Jacked Morris.
I'm Jacked Morris. Holy shit.
I need a new DJ name.
I need a new rap persona immediately. I mean, there was another time. Wow, this is just
I recognize that you
out.
Can't read my eyes rolling, yeah,
rolling
on the microphone,
back.
But they're
rolling.
Let me
get them.
Who yeah. was Rachel? Who was another celebrity?
Yes.
Back in the day, she did the this is your mind on drugs. This is your mind the frying pan.
She's all that.
She's all that. Who was She's All That?
She's All That.
I met
Rachel Lee Cook.
Also a very good friend of mine.
Also
oh, come on.
A very good
She's the one who cooked the eggs in the Dare
yes.
commercial.
Wow, I didn't know that was her.
This is your brain. This
yes,
is your brain on drugs.
Exactly. So She's All That. One time I was hosting. I mean, look, these are my secrets. They're all
yes.
pouring out right now.
Yes.
One time we were doing UTK's podcast. I co-hosted his podcast for a long time, and Rachel Lee Cook was one of the guests. It came up. Look, it just came up. I just said, I was like, Freddie Prinze Jr. was one of the hottest dudes I've ever saw.
For sure.
And when me and my friends in Long Island were growing up, we all were like, how do men grow up to look like Freddie Prinze Jr.? None of us look like that.
I had the same
How does your face work out and end like that?
It just work out so well.
And Rachel Lee Cook said, oh, please, you're just as good looking as fucking Freddie Prinze Jr.
It is so Long Island of you. It is so Long Island of you to love Freddie Prinze Jr.
And Felipe. And Ryan Felipe. Those
I was more
like,
Felipe growing up,
were
but
you?
Now I'm like, out the door, Felipe.
Bye,
get
Ryan.
Out of here.
Yes. See, like, we all wanted to be Justin Timberlake in Long Island, but we all looked like Fatone.
Who was actually, like your third cousin removed.
Correct.
Secretly.
We literally looked like
yes.
Fatone.
Yes.
I just never understood how you could be so, like, pretty around the edges. Like,
yes.
Freddie Prinze Jr. was so pretty.
Well, I think that's why Paul Rudd hit the sweet spot, because it was like, he was excessively...
I agree.
He was, like, excessively gorgeous. He wasn't, like, rudely gorgeous like Freddie Prinze or Ryan Phillippe. It was like, you're, like, a statue molded
yeah.
in clay.
Yeah.
He was just, like,
yeah.
every man hot.
And that's, like, the
Perfect.
Thread of the movie is
yeah.
that, like, she wants someone, like, Christian.
Yes, exactly.
Who knows how to shop.
Poochie
and, like,
lips.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And who, like, knows all the cool things, takes her to the cool concert,
yes.
drives the cool car. And meanwhile, it's, like, Paul Rudd, who's, like, making fun of her,
right.
frankly, the whole movie.
Right.
And also kind of teaching her, like, you know that there's, like, this vocabulary thread. He's, like, trying
yes.
to teach her
yes.
to use bigger words. And
mm-hmm.
she eventually teaches Ty how to use sporadically.
Big word.
I gotta watch this
and
movie
then
again.
And there's this one scene where Josh leaves the room and he's like, see you later, and she's like, I hope not sporadically.
Come on. Now, am I way off? Sorry, Billy. Am
yeah.
I way off in saying that there's like a Jane Austen
yeah,
connection?
Yeah, totally.
Like, is it a loose adaptation of something?
Of Emma.
Of Emma.
Yeah.
Is that something that you're familiar? Is Emma something you're familiar? I don't know.
Yes, I mean,
about.
I read yeah. it years ago. I mean, there's a lot. Like, Emma is a text that a lot of people adapt.
Interesting.
But the it's updated, obviously, to be like modern day Beverly Hills, but it's the same kind of character. It's this woman who, it's a young woman who is entitled and spoiled and thinks she knows what's best for everybody and thinks she's a really good matchmaker. And so she meddles in other people's affairs only to learn that she doesn't know everything.
Cause more complications.
Right.
I do remember, I mean, coveting her like closet gadget where she would, I mean, obviously, I'm sure every human being in America did.
What the heck are you talking about? Closet gadget.
Okay. She was... So one of like the opening scenes is you like go into Cher's room in the morning and she's waking up and she opens her closet and like she doesn't know what to wear. So she goes to this computer that's like a 1994 computer and she like presses a button and it scrolls through all these images of what's in her wardrobe and she puts her outfits together like that.
It's like cycling through skirts, cycling through tops and found a match.
That's
and
a dream.
Just like endless. Yeah.
That's a dream.
Yeah.
It feels like 90s movies used to love gadgets at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Like there was a Pee Wee Herman movie where it had one of those Rube Goldberg machines that just like made his egg.
Yeah.
And it was just like people in the 90s were like, I am just so content in watching a gadget work for a minute.
Work, gadget, work.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. The future is now.
Yeah.
Let's remind him again and again and again why Marina Mitchelson is here. For a number of reasons she's here, but the main reason she is here is that today her short film is now online. Look it up, Biophilia.
So good.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
So excellent.
We have about 6 minutes left, Marina.
Yeah.
As a vacuum or drill plays in the background. We have about 6 minutes left. It was just announced that Clueless is getting a reboot.
Reboot. That's so hard to believe.
Reboots are everywhere, Murphy. Yeah. Brown has now been rebooted. If you existed 15, 20 years ago,
it's coming back.
It is now a reboot. How does that affect you, a diehard Clueless fan?
Well, it stings a little. I mean, I wasn't happy to hear about it. It stings. It's like, why do you have to mess with something that's so perfect?
That kind of feels like the spirit of the reboot. Everyone is just like, it was perfect. Why? And like, obviously, it's because it will make us money again is the reason for the people in the executive offices. But for the fans, it's like, why not preserve
it? Is the reboot going to be set now or in the 90s?
I think it's going to be set now.
I think it might have
a... all African-American cast.
Okay. Hey, there
you
go.
Which I think is great. So I think it's like hot and cold, right? Cold because I don't want to see this thing tampered with that I adore. Also, like, there's plenty of new ideas out there, Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like, just look for them. Yeah. We don't need to keep rebooting things.
Right.
But I have to say that I am happy for the women who get to write and direct this movie. I think that's awesome.
For sure.
And I definitely think I get wanting to introduce it and make it relevant to a new generation.
Yeah.
You know, maybe kids these days are not watching movies that are 20 years old.
Yes.
And
right.
They want to introduce this story to new people.
Yeah. It's. I mean, in a way, though, absolutely, of course, and yes. And it's like, why not? It's like, I'm going to contradict myself already. But it's just like, in the spirit of like, it's an adaptation of Austin and here's this. And it's like the same story being reformed for new generations always.
Right.
And
Clueless, in a way, it's like one dot in the linear long line of this narrative anyway. So might as well, like, why not?
Just so let me ask you this then. It feels like whenever we hear a reboot is coming out, there's like a tinge of like, oh, you know. Mm-hmm. Has there been a reboot recently that you guys saw and you're like, you know what? That rocked.
I was really curious to see. I know it like became very controversial with all the school violence. I was really interested to see the Heathers reboot when they took, because it sounds like it was a little bit of a similar thing, because Heathers was another 90s cult movie about like a group of three.
Yeah.
Three, like, sort of, like, sinister teens in a high school, maybe. And it was, like, a very black comedy.
That's a TV show, right? They rebooted
it into a TV show. Into a TV series,
But what happened exactly in that movie?
What happens? They, like, plan to blow up the school. I mean, I think there's, like, school vibe. There's, like, I can't remember the exact plot, but it was, like, this devious teen, Winona Ryder. It was, like,
Christian,
her sort of, like, Slater, maybe.
Christian Slater, yeah.
Yeah. But they rebooted it as a TV series and, like, sort of did some gender bending with it, and it looked kind of interesting and cool and dark and, like,
acid-tinged. We both just saw was Suspiria. That's a reboot.
Yeah, that was cool.
Of a 1970s horror film.
That was super cool.
And, it's hard not for people to watch it and not want to compare it to the first film. But they clearly tried to not just make, like, a shot-for-shot, scene-for-scene remake.
Inspired by?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, they kind of set it in the same year and in the same world and adapted the story in a different way.
Yeah.
Is there, like, a central thing in Clueless that it's like, oh, this is why now? Like, is there something? Because I was trying to think about, I saw the movie, and it's like, there's female empowerment currently in the air today, and I guess there's, like, other elements of, like, friends. I don't really know. Why now?
It's a classic coming of age movie.
Yeah.
I mean,
but why now? Like, it feels like there's always like at least a reason. Like when Murphy Brown, it's the second time I've said Murphy Brown, I can't believe it. But when Murphy Brown came out, it was like, oh, that's because that's a story about a woman in journalism
right.
who is fighting against the powers that be that are making false lies.
Feels hyper relevant. Kind
of, exactly. It yeah. feels like this is why we reboot it. Roseanne, despite how it ended, it was like the reason it got rebooted is because it's like actually an interesting time for people in rural areas or just red Americans who are trying to survive in this current media landscape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why Clueless, I wonder?
I don't know, but you
maybe
know,
just it's a great movie.
Maybe it's just a great movie, story. But maybe, you know, to your point, maybe it is, you know, a female-led ensemble mm-hmm. to be written by a woman and directed by a woman and, you know, for a plug for Biophilia. Like,
yes.
That's why what I'm all about. I think that we definitely do need more of those perspectives and lenses out there. I mean, for me, like, we just talked about this, but Clueless was the first time I realized that a woman could
yeah.
direct a movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, maybe there's an element of that to it, that it is a very female-focused story. Yeah. And
I think it's pretty badass that you check in with how Amy Heckerling was one of the first female directors that you saw, and that stuck with you. And, like, no matter how that, like, plays out over your life, that stuck with you and that existed
exactly.
with you. And that 20 years later, maybe it was directly, maybe it was indirectly, but regardless, that has led you to now become a filmmaker.
Yes.
Which is the reminder as to why we're here, is because today your film, Biophilia, is now out.
Please watch.
And there's something very special about kind of clocking in with over the course of three acts today, realizing that like that little thing, those pink images on mm-hmm. the screen, and then just saying written and directed by Amy Heckerling, that affects you in ways that you don't know until
you
make
path.
Your work.
Well, yeah, because it reframed what I thought a filmmaker was.
Yeah.
Growing up, I always thought that, like, girls are actresses and boys are writers and directors.
There you go.
Right.
And it was the first time where my mind kind of blew up
yeah.
to realize, oh, girls can do this too.
Yeah.
And I think it's Jill Soloway who said something like, directing is just saying, is all about desire. It's the desire to see that. It's like, I want to see that, and I want to see that, and I want to put them together, mm-hmm. and I want you to do that, and I want
sure.
you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like a real experience of my childhood, of
yes.
like always wanting to put together little plays. And I guess I just didn't realize I can do it until I saw more films by female
yes.
filmmakers.
That's
yeah.
great.
And it's also Clueless does seem to be one of those movies. Off mic, sorry to blow yeah. up your spot, Miranda, but you were saying that, was it your acupuncturist
yes.
who has the Clueless book in his office?
Yeah.
But it is also one of those cult movies that pegs people together,
totally.
Ties people together from across all sort of like age groups or whatever. If like you find another Clueless fan, it is like
right.
sort of a language that you both speak or something.
I need to find this book. I was just in my yeah. acupuncturist office and I'm obsessed with his bookshelf and this yeah. is how I know we're friends. And I saw a book that said Clueless, the oral history that I had somehow never read.
Yeah, right. Marina.
So if you are 16, 18, even if you're mid-30s and you never caught the movie Clueless, the three of us in this room all encourage you to
so
watch
excellent.
It. Simultaneously, whatever age you are, male or female, we also encourage you to watch Biophilia,
truly
Marina's
excellent.
New short film,
amen.
Which is now out on Vimeo.
Yes.
That is the No Joke Podcast. Today we talked about Clueless. Today we talked with Marina Mitchelson, and we promoted her film Biophilia.
What a treat.
Love you, boys.
Marina, love you too, Marina. For the No Joke Podcast, I am Billy Scafuri.
I'm Adam Lustig.
Once again, we'd like to thank Marina Mitchelson. We will talk to you next week.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.